Blog Talk Radio.
Ignite your life with passion and purpose. Your health, your wealth, your happiness. Make it good. This is Modern Love with Dr. Brenda Wade.
A big thank you to Rainbow Grocery, our favorite grocery store here in the San Francisco Bay Area, for being our sponsor, because a healthy body is a sexy body.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Modern Love Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Brenda Wade. Call me Dr. B or Dr. Brenda, and I'm so excited for tonight's show, because we have someone as our guest that I've wanted to talk to for a long time. You're going to meet a true pioneer. It's Nicole Bradford, who's many things. She's an author, a speaker, a visionary, but she's come to our attention because she's a rare bird. She's one of the few women, and especially one of the few African-American women working in the field of technology. And she's also working in the field of gaming and the field of transformation. That's a triple threat, if ever I heard of one. And she is a true boundary breaker as the senior entertainment leader and teacher with over a decade of experience in operation, strategy, marketing, and licensing from Activision Blizzard and many other fabulous games with, I don't know, companies you might have heard of like Disney Interactive. So from Disney Interactive to transformation, we're going to find out more about her journey, which I might add, those of you who are gamers, World of Warcraft, StarCraft, and Warcraft and Battle.net. All right, welcome right now, Nicole Bradford. Hello, Nicole. How are you?
Hello, Dr. Wade. It's so great to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Now, everyone is up in arms about the field of technology not having enough women, certainly not having enough women of color. How did you get interested in technology? Start at the very, very beginning of your story. How did that happen?
You know, it actually started 14 years ago. Well, actually, now it would be 15 years ago when I was in business school. And I kind of have an approach towards life that I really believe, I'm very mission-driven, I'm very passion-driven, and I really believe that it's incredibly important to do the things that we believe in and the things that make us feel alive every moment. And so many people were approaching school with the idea that they should get a job that would pay the bills and the bills that they incurred for school. And my thinking was, I should find a career that makes having those bills worthwhile, and that if I found something that I was truly passionate about, then it's kind of like the old saying, the money comes. And I believe that it allows you, when you have a lot of passion for something and you also, you know, focus on it intensely, then you build the kind of obsessiveness about it that makes you very, very good.
Yeah, and energetically, you're on fire. That's a famous quote from Joseph Campbell, one of my heroes, who said, do what you love and the money will follow. And look at him. He was a mythologist, for God's sake, teaching at one of the sisters, one of the women's colleges in the Ivy League system. Who would ever have thought he would become George Lucas's mentor and the inspiration behind the original Star Wars series? A mythologist, but he loved it. He was passionate. Anyone who's ever seen him on TV or listened to any of his tapes, you can feel it. So you're making an excellent point. Now, everybody, you know how we roll here. I want you to take something away you can use. You can take this to the bank. Do what makes you feel alive every moment. That's a quote from our guest, Nicole Bradford. And if you want to join the conversation, all you have to do is go old school and call us at 347-989-0776. Or You can hit us back on Facebook, Dr. Brenda Wade, or tweet us, Dr. Brenda Wade, and Cliff, our associate producer, standing by to have you join the conversation. What makes you come alive? Now, Nicole, what was it when you were a child that made you say, I'm going to do something different? I want to find that thing that makes me come alive every moment. Where did the influence come from?
You know, my parents were fantastic, and they did encourage me to believe that I could do anything that I wanted. But really, where it really became a part of my life philosophy was right after I graduated from college, because my mother died unexpectedly. And she was an entrepreneur, very healthy. She was a young 50. She was on a business trip and died suddenly. And there actually, you know, wasn't a cause of death. And it was just so hard to fathom that someone so vital could just die, that the way that I internalized that after the mourning was that, you know, none of us knows how much time we have. None of us really knows. We don't know how much time we have. And so the time that we have here is absolutely precious. And so I have, you know, since then, I mean, I always lived pretty, you know, all out, in the sense that I had this incredible curiosity. But from that moment on, it just really, I do not believe in wasting time on pettiness. I do not believe in wasting time on things that...
Yeah, having that kind of job in your life, if that doesn't wake you up, nothing will. And I'm so sorry that you lost your mom so unexpectedly, and to not even have a cause of death makes it even more of a mystery, you know, that anything could happen at any moment. So I really appreciate you sharing that, Nicole, because every one of us has some experience that makes us stop, makes us sit back on our heels and go, you know what, I better take this in and process it and see what I can do with it. So you decided, not wasting a freaking minute, get out of my way, here I come. And then you found your way into technology. How did you do that when it's so hard to find women of color in technology?
Well, you know, it's really,
you know,
funny.
I
did What Color Is Your Parachute?
Oh,
and
yeah,
so
I love that
book. While I was in graduate school, I was determined to find something that really suited me. And so I did What Color Is Your Parachute with all of the focus of a man whose head is on fire, who's looking for water. Like, I was so intent. I did everything he said in every order. And in one of the activities, you sort of define the things that you're interested in. And my general discussion had technology, because I've always loved technology. I, you know, love Star Wars, Star Trek. I always looked at gadgets.
Yay,
and so it was
another geek. Oh, my God.
Yeah, totally.
I love it. I was listening to vlogged his name because I got so excited. My hero, astrophysicist, Tyson is the last name. I'm going to have it. You know who I mean.
I know who you're talking about.
We're both looking at
the
picture, this is how you can tell you're talking to a geek. They can tell you the names of the different interplanetary beings on Star Trek and Star Wars. So there, I won't put you...
Oh, yes. No, I can totally do that. Or, you know, it's like, what's more powerful, the Genesis machine or the Death Star?
Yes. Oh, my God. All right. Now, we know that one of the things that you did is that you went overseas and you started taking the U.S. entertainment business to China. Now, that's a sharp turn in a new, different direction. What was that like for you?
Well, sort of, well, just to bridge it real quick. So I did What Color Is Your Parachute, and I found the categories that I was really interested in, which was storytelling, because I'm a novelist, and communication, because I'm really interested in how human beings connect, but I didn't want to do, you know, telephones, and then also how we tell our stories. So, you know, that plus technology, and I would just put those words into the computer at the library, because that was sort of like before there was Google, or before the internet was the internet, right? It was a long time ago. And so I put those words in there. Yeah, when we'd go to the library to research. And so I put those things in the internet, in the business net, and eventually the annual report for Electronic Arts came out as one of my searches.
And that was it. It spit it out. It went, it's me. So
yeah, I read
the
statement.
But you are also, we're
going
to get to this in 1 second. You are also a novelist, and you're going to talk about your book, The Sisterhood, because I'm intensely curious about how the book came to be. But we want to know how you fared in China, because that is a huge leap.
You know, I had the time of my life, and it was an incredible experience. And I went there with 3 suitcases, no friends, and not speaking Mandarin. And I just had a role with my company. And, the way, after I got out of grad school, I started at Disney Interactive. I was in marketing. Then I moved into strategy, global corporate strategy. I pitched my job to the CEO of Vivendi Games after working on a summer strategy program. And then after I got that job in global strategy, we worked on the acquisition of Activision by Vivendi, which was done with a really small group.
Wow, so you did so much there business-wise, and on a personal level, was it hard to live there and be an African-American woman in China? How did you manage the personal side of that? Because I just have to know.
It's a really international group, and I highly recommend people going overseas. And there's lots of ways to go overseas, but specifically also for women and people of color, the overseas jobs tend to have really big scope. And so the size of the job that I had while I was there was something that, at that same age, I probably, in the U.S. it's much harder to get jobs that big for anybody.
So there may be more advantages. Now, we have our first question. We have a person who wrote in here. This just came in via Facebook. And, getting to that issue that's so hot right now, I am a woman in the field of technology, and I don't feel I'm respected by my male colleagues. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have?
That can be a tough one. I would say that every company has a baseline currency that they deal in. So specifically in games, having your, having a real understanding of games and the development and the consumer experience, that's the baseline currency. And then after that, it's the same type successes that are required elsewhere. And on top of that,
so what you're saying is really, really know every facet of the business, and then what?
Well, it's a little bit more. I'm sorry, I meant to be a little bit more specific than that.
That's okay. We're glossing over only because of time. So I'm going to ask the courageous person who wrote the question to bear with us, because we are racing the clock to get as much information from Nicole as we possibly can, and she has to tell us about her great book.
Well, okay. So in short, you have to be an expert at the currency of your specific company, and that's the baseline. And then on top of that, you have to perform, and often perform better. We kind of know that that's the way it is. And then on top of that,
it's so unfair that you have to outperform men to prove. One of my mentors, I'll never forget this saying to me. She was quite a famous woman in the world of research that I come from, and she said, when you can aspire to the same level of mediocrity as a man and still succeed, we'll all be truly equal. And I thought, okay. So work harder, be smarter and faster, and, probably also, you didn't say it, Nicole, but I'm sure, play team ball. And I tell women who want to get promoted, just in general, in any field, before Nicole tells us about The Sisterhood, the action thriller set in a vast business empire run by women. In any case, the thing to remember is document, document, document. Mm. Don't be afraid to send those little emails going, I had a blast working with you on X project. So happy I could contribute X to the success of the team. And just
yes.
make sure it's documented. You put it out there because women are shy about tooting their horns. As a rule, men aren't, and that's one of the crucial differences in getting ahead. So I just had to toss that
out. Yeah. And one other thing that I would add is that it's really important to raise your hand for opportunities that haven't necessarily been laid out yet. So for the job that I had reporting to the CEO of Vivendi Games, I pitched him on that job. It wasn't a job, and I pitched it. And then also for going to China, most people in the company would have thought I would have done something else, but I asked to go to China, and there wasn't quite a role yet. And so I also pitched, you know, why I would be a good fit in China. And I went there to oversee business operations, and by the time I left, I oversaw all of the technical operations, all of go-to-market, and that integrates with the front-end publishing operations. I had 70 employees. And
fantastic
and through
success.
Them,
now, there's proof that putting your hand up is a good idea, right? Good for
yeah,
you.
You have to put your
now,
hand
tell
up.
Us, because I'm very anxious that our listeners learn two things about you. One is how meditation and technology came together for you, and learn about the sisterhood. So tell us about the sisterhood, and then what does meditation have to do with technology?
Well, can I start with that one? Because it ties
yeah,
to the last
right
thing
ahead.
that I think professional women should do. I think that they should meditate. And one of the reasons why is because it really helps regulate your stress, and it really helps you with clarity and focus. And also, you know, the ability to not be reactive. And, you know, just in general, it's good for everyone. But, you know, people who are in high-stress situations, which may include being the only woman in the room, you know, having a tool that allows you to really, really manage your stress and keep very sharp clarity is one that also can help you in your career, as well
yes.
as your personal life.
And your personal life, you know, I just taught a 3-week teleseminar series called Date, Mate, and Meditate, because it
awesome.
Makes you a much better love partner if you are a person who can be calm and talk things through and work things through. So I can't say enough. By the way, everybody, take a look at the latest research on meditation. It changes your brain in the best way and improves health on top of everything else that Nicole just shared. Now, how did you come to blending what you call transformative technology into everything else that you've done? You are so incredibly accomplished.
Well, I went on a meditation retreat in between assignments in Asia. I was transitioning from China on the way to Hong Kong, and I did a meditation retreat, and it really changed my life. I mean,
yay.
I had always been a very mental person, like very much in my head. And, you know, the retreat sort of just, I felt a level of happiness and relaxation and, you know, comfort in my skin that I hadn't, you know, that I didn't even know I hadn't felt, which was the big surprise. And I was so happy and so relaxed. And I walked out of the retreat wanting to share it with all the people that I love. And then after that, asking the question, because of a background in technology, and if World of Warcraft teaches you anything, it teaches you scale, was how do we scale this? Like, what do we do? And then I met a researcher who had done a 1,200-person global study on meditation. And he was the person who had done a pan-tradition, so not just one religion or philosophy, a pan-tradition look with that was a structured psychological study with, you know, that was qualitative and quantitative and used cognitive science to categorize
what
it looked like.
Yeah.
Well, he found that there's a condition, we call it persistent non-symbolic experience. And in short, it's basically, you know, these are the happiest people on earth. And they're very, very happy. And also, we developed a course that is drawn from the research that helps people get to the same place.
That is
of
fantastic.
These very advanced
so you developed a
meditators.
Course based on your own awakening on the retreat that you went on. I wish we had so much more time to talk about that because it is a cornerstone of being a healthy, happy person to have a meditation practice. And those of you who are interested in getting your monkey mind to a point of stillness, mm-hmm. go to our website, drbrendaway.com, and sign up for our newsletter because we have a special offer that's coming out in the newsletter tomorrow, Nicole. This is so synchronistic, with a tool called the Power Key that puts your brain in the meditation state in 6 minutes. And for Western minds that jump all over the place because we're overstimulated, that takes a lot to get to meditative state, theta waves, in 6 minutes. It's called the Power Key. Check it out. We have a special offer there for you. And I can't say enough about the value. Now, you must tell us about the sisterhood.
Okay, well, the sisterhood, the idea actually came 18 years ago when I was still in college and or longer than that. And essentially what it was is it was the, you know, it's the storyline is 9 women of color start a multinational corporation to fund a foundation that has centers for women and girls in North America, South America, and Africa. And their mission is mental freedom for women, the freedom to choose. And they do that by creating an economic engine within communities that allows them to fund their own processes and platforms so that they are able to, in the story, take back the communities that have been damaged by drugs and poverty and take those communities back and rebuild them. And so the entire story is, on one level, an action-adventure thriller because there's car chases and technology and there's a new drug that is the worst thing people have ever seen and there's romance and love and all of that. But fundamentally, each of the 9 women represent a leadership trait. Each of the 9 women, they're all smart. There's no catfights. They're strong, but then they're also, you know, they're also flawed and normal like all of us. And one of the things I say often is that I think that, you know, the superwoman meme, especially for women of color, doesn't really serve us because it has two reactions. One, we either try to work against the superwoman meme because we think it means we're going to be alone and die with 9 cats. So we kind of defer our heroic nature because I think black women are naturally heroic. Or we think that it means that we can't be vulnerable. And so we build these walls around ourselves and work ourselves to death. And actually being a hero is being both strong and open. And, you know, being able to collaborate with other women because women working together can change this entire world. And so the book is about that. And it shows the women doing that.
Wow, it sounds powerful because you've got some models here of women who are strong, powerful, vulnerable, and I really get from what you said, you're actually teaching women how to set up and run and fund their own operations. This is a book that belongs on everybody's shelf, and you don't have to be a woman or a woman of color to enjoy a great action thriller, because I can tell just from talking to you, Nicole, you're a great storyteller. And is there meditation in the book? I have to know.
You know, there is.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad you didn't leave it out. It's so important. It really is important. So everyone, I want you to know. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, lots of technology. Like the reason the women begin their wealth by investment in technology. So that's how they get the first war chest to make their first acquisition.
Well, we all want to know how to do that. So, Nicole, how do people pick up the book? Do you have a website where they can get it, or do we send them straight to Amazon?
You know, straight to Amazon is great for the Kindle.
Okay, everybody.
And so it's called The Sisterhood by Nicole Bradford.
Yes, we know it's by Nicole Bradford, and I do want you to get it. I'm going to be first in line to get mine. On my Kindle, I'm old school, though. I like to hold books and smell that ink on the paper, something organic about it. Now, Nicole,
what would you
like to leave us with? If you could give one piece of advice to people who want to not only succeed maybe in the world of technology, but also just truly, as you said at the top of the show, feel alive every moment. What advice would you give?
I would say two things. One, you know, don't be afraid to change your life. Don't be afraid to change your life and be audacious in what you're willing to change it to, because it's, you know, you absolutely can do it. And then the second part is, you know, really develop a meditative practice. You know, absolutely, hands down, that is support tools that you can have, and it will really set you up for every other part of your life.
Yay. Well, I second that, and I'm going to raise you one, Nicole. Everybody wants to learn to meditate. Check out that power key I told you about, but if you really want to get down with the program, I am hosting a very small, we only have room for 10 to 12 people, it's women only, a retreat to Jamaica, Negril, Jamaica. It'll be August 11th through the 15th. So let me know if you want to be one of those 10 women who are going with me. We have a few, very few spots left, everybody, and it's a special event. I'm going on a retreat myself because I go on one every single year, because it's where you take time away from the world and focus on you and make your life better from the inside out. So Nicole Bradford, my twin separated at birth, lots more to talk about with you. Thank you for sharing your wonderful journey with us. All of our Modern Love community, I want to send out great thanks and props to you. Let you know our upcoming guest is going to be Terry Britt, former Miss USA, who's going to talk about enlightened love. Then we have Beth Greer right behind her, Supernatural Home. Beth has things that will make your home a healthy place to live. And then Grace Fergal talking about love at first X. Woohoo! Thanks to our brilliant producer, LeGron Green, to our wonderful associate producer, Cliff Dunning, and thanks to all of you and our special guest, Nicole Bradford. Blessings, everyone. Good night.